Why is that?
He just can't afford like them being confused at all, right? Like,
dude, I'm amazed.
All that kind of stuff.
I'm amazed at how many times talent continues to not be able to read a call sheet. It's unbelievable.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Learn Videography, a podcast dedicated to mastering the art and business of becoming a full-time videographer. Presented by Industry Jump. Break. Hosted by director Kyle Loftus and producer JJ Englert. Let's go.
Welcome back to Learn Videography, your podcast to learn everything you need to know about becoming a full-time videographer. As always, I'm here with my co-host Kyle Loftus, and today we're talking about elevating your client experience, aka making them feel like gold, like the bee's knees when they walk on set for you, or when they're you're working on a production with them. We want to make sure that your clients come back to you all the time. So we're going to be sharing our tips and tricks of what we do with our clients, make them super happy, but also how we manage them in a proactive and productive way. So Kyle, glad to have you. Hopefully you had a great break. How is your week going this week?
It's great, man. It's good. Back and fresh after a nice little break. And it's funny, we're kind of talking about this subject here. I've had a little bit of this, I guess I don't want to call it a situation. It's all been positive, but like I've been kind of going through this process of recent, you know, obviously like this is end of the year as we're recording this podcast. So yeah, a lot of my focus right now actually is, you know, reaching back out to clients, past clients, checking in, seeing how they're doing.
Perfect.
And then I've got a similar situation, but we'll get into it later as we talk about scenarios and stuff. But great, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, doing good. Got a little bit of a cold after being with all my family, but other than that, great. We had a fantastic Christmas and getting ready for the new year. Have a lot planned for next year, a lot of goals that I've been setting for myself. I'm really excited about those. But why don't we just hop right into year-end activities with your clients? What's up?
I'm going to challenge you real quick. I want you to share one goal that maybe you're not fully comfortable sharing or not super confident in you might achieve, but it's a major goal you have for next year.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
I'll start.
Okay, go for it. No, you got
all right,
it.
All right. So, big goal for me next year is I want to try and knock out three things all in one. So I want to eliminate all of my student loans. I want to invest and get commercial property, and I want to invest and get my own property, you know, to actually live in as well. So those are like three big things I want to make happen next year, along many other goals. But financially, you know, those are three big ones I want to accomplish next year for myself.
Yeah, you know, I immediately go towards that financial goal. But I don't want to do that. I obviously, like, that's one of my goals is like a financial number that I'm targeting to hit, right? But I think another one of my goals for next year is to find a way to consolidate everything that I'm doing so I can focus more on a few things rather than a little bit on a lot of things. Do you know what I mean? You know, I've been really thinking lately about like, because I work a lot. I have multiple jobs, multiple companies. We have this podcast. We do so much. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and then I'm having another baby in April. So a lot going on, right? And so I'm just trying to figure out like, how can I simplify my life so I can really dedicate 100% of my attention to whatever I'm doing, rather than just always feeling so thin, you know? So I think that would probably be one of my biggest things that I don't think I can accomplish because I am such a motivated go-getter and I want to do so much. So it's like one part of me is like, I want to simplify, and another part of me is like, I want to do 20 more things, right? So that's a constant battle that I'm having myself. Actually, this week, we actually just put in an offer to buy another home as a rental property. It was my first forego at that. We didn't win it. But we went through the process. I teamed up with my brother-in-law and we were going to do it. We'll fix it up and flip it, right? So we went through that whole exercise. So I was already really happy with that. So maybe next year we'll add a rental property to our list of assets too. So that could be really cool. But, goals are good, right? Short-term, long-term, financial, lifestyle, relationship-wise, it's very healthy to have all around. Definitely recommend you do yours as well. But let's get back to year end client activity. There's a lot of things that we could talk about here. I'm just going to rattle off a couple. Year-end gifts, year-end follow-ups, year-end get-togethers, year-end like holiday parties, right? So I've seen all of these happen with all different kinds of media companies, and to each their own. Some don't do any, some do all, right? And I think the important part for me that I want to hit home here is that it's a really good opportunity to connect with folks when it is less busy, right? So if you haven't talked to someone in 3 or 4 months, this is a great excuse for you to reach out to them and say, hey, happy holidays. You know, I hope you had a great new year. You know, if you have time to talk, let me know, kind of thing, to re-engage, like perfect excuse to do that. And I feel like you should be doing that with as many clients as possible, because you never know, even if they don't need media services, maybe they can refer you to someone, you know. And it's like, whenever you're thinking about referrals, it's always like, who is the last person or two that you've worked with? And that's kind of who you're referring, right? And if you're not top of mind like that, then yep. You're being missed out on those referrals, right? And so I always, in general, try to keep client communications like every 3 months. I'm always checking in just so it doesn't go too far, right? See how I can help them. See if they want to recut of something that I've worked on for them. See if they have any projects that they want me to scope out, or just a brainstorm call of like, you know, what are some possibilities that we can do in the new year? What are some trends that we can tap into? I think all of those are healthy exercises. But I'll hand it back over to you right now, Kyle. How are you approaching this? You kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier that you're going through this mindset. How are you processing this right now for your company?
Yeah, so, you know, for me and how things are going right now, or where my focus is obviously, you know, I have current projects I'm working on as well, but you know, a big focus with the end of the year for me is in holidays in general, you know, is again, reaching out to clients. And, you know, yes, it's part of the process is checking in, seeing how things have been, seeing how the past year has been, if they have anything new or exciting they're planning for first quarter. Oftentimes, a lot of businesses, they might not be taking a lot of action right now, but they're doing a lot of planning. Like the conversations have already begun for Q1, if not, you know, further than the conversations, like action has kind of started to begun. So a lot of that is kind of reaching out. But again, most of what I'm doing is just checking in with clients, seeing how the past year went. Again, seeing what like their big goals are with 2022, and you know how my business might kind of fall in line with that, or how we can kind of help them along in that process. But you know, talking, I guess, further beyond just like end of the year, you know, as JJ, as you kind of alluded to, like there are in a plethora of different things or different kind of moments you can use to reach out to your clientele. So again, you know, just talking in simple terms of the different quarters of the year, right? So every single quarter you can be reaching out to your client, because essentially this is kind of, you know, most businesses are planning out their investments and their marketing campaigns, if you will, based on the different quarters of the year. Mm-hmm. So if you can be reaching out to your clients during these or before these quarters begin, you know, 2-3 weeks before the quarters begin, you can work, they can start to build up that top of mind, and then begin that process of having a conversation that hopefully gets you involved in one of those campaigns, or gets you to lead a campaign with that commercial, with that brand or business. Additionally, outside of the quarters, again, we can look at just simple holidays. And then for me also, I really like to look at seasons, specifically with like commercial clientele, because often with seasons, we're looking at obviously different things coming out for those brands and businesses, more specifically with like clothing or shoes, different things like that. With the seasons changing, they're releasing new products. So I kind of know that's an easy signifier for me that like when summer's getting ready to come around from spring, like, okay, like lots of brands and businesses are going to have brand new collections they're going to need content for. Let me check on my old clientele. Let me reach out to some new clientele. So that's kind of a bit into my process of what I'm doing. But I guess to elaborate a little bit further, you know, I did have like a little holiday party myself. I send out like a personalized message. I don't do like an automated message. This is one of the few things, specifically with the holidays, where I like to send a personalized message to each individual that I've worked with in the past. But personally, right now, I don't do necessarily like a gift giveaway. That definitely is something I want to do in the future to all my clients. But, you know, I'll honestly admit, I'm not necessarily in a comfortable enough financial position where I want to give away like $50 or $60 away in a gift, plus the shipping to the 60 something different clients I worked for this year. I'd rather have that couple grand to continue invest in my business and stuff selfishly. Sure. So definitely goals for the future, but that's a little bit of what I do to kind of just stay top of mind and give back to the clients that have, you know, given me so much.
Kyle, guess what?
What's up?
Dude, we got a new season-long sponsor, and you won't believe who it is.
I think I might have an idea.
Riverside FM, the same platform that we're using to record this podcast right now. We got them on as a season-long sponsor. We were using the platform before they're a sponsor, and we're stoked to have them on this show as our sponsor. They're the leading podcast, video, and audio platform. Top podcast hosts like Gary Vee, Guy Raj, and so many others use Riverside as well. You can edit your videos within Riverside. You can do small little snackable clips. You can auto-create transcriptions with Riverside, and so much more. So if you're looking to get into podcasting in the new year, go over to riverside.fm, check them out, and you won't regret it. See ya. Now let's get back to the episode. Yeah, and you know, I think there's a lot of great things that you hit on there, but one of the things I want to really emphasize is the fact of, you know, getting ahead of seasons and schedules and proactively reaching out and organizing those calls of to see if you can brainstorm any things, right? Because you got to remember that business owners, artists, everybody like that, they're in their own lane, right? And they're not always thinking about how video can improve their business, right? Or get them more results. And so sometimes it's on you to remind them of like, hey, we could do this with video. We could do this with video, and like kind of think for them by like flexing that video muscle, right? So, you know, don't always wait for that call for them when they're ready. Try to proactively get out there and say, hey, you know, here is some recent campaigns that I've done that have found success this way. I would love to do something like this for you. You know, stuff like that. Like, I know that as videographers, as content owners, content media business owners, we don't do a good job with case studies. We don't really do a good job with tracking results. Sometimes we'll track like views, right? And like my last video got 3 million views. Like that's easy to track, but you know, it's a lot harder to track revenue and stuff like that that was generated from your ads. But if you could start to track that information, like that's gold, you know, like, hey, this video, this company turned around, ran 5 e-commerce spots for it. They put 20 grand into ads and they netted 100 grand in return in sales, you know, over the last 2 months, right? Like if you could get those numbers, which are hard to come by, but if you can start to position yourself with your clients to get those numbers, you could leverage that to the moon, right? Like that's really good information that you want to get. And so understandably, we're probably not getting that those numbers yet, but if you could start looking towards the future of like, hey, we're setting up these campaigns, we're putting on these platforms, here is this, the marketing spend that we're going to do towards that. Can I get any kind of exposure into how much revenue you're generating from that? You know, strictly for my own marketing purposes, I don't need to blast it from the rooftops, or I won't name your brand or whatever. I won't give away company secrets, but you know, maybe I'll even give you like small discount or extra assets for you to share that information with me, because it is worthwhile, because I could really take that info and leverage it to get much bigger clients and client budget stuff. So don't be afraid. Proactively get out there, start these conversations, re-engage with your clients, find ways to, you know, just put a smile on their face. You know, you talked about not having money to send out client gifts. That's expensive. Understandably, that's expensive. But a handwritten card or a handwritten note, or just like, you know, say you guys were on a shoot together and maybe you sent them like a behind the scenes photo. It was like, great day on set. Loved what we did here. Or, you know, like, or capture a comment from one of the videos you guys did together. So glad to see people still loving this video. You know, like little emotions or thoughts or like messages like that could go a long way to, you know, reestablishing that relationship with your client.
Yeah, definitely. And just want to briefly mention too, you know, sometimes I have individuals that ask about like music videos, or I'm sure there's people listening here that might be asking like, what are some different ways you can proactively kind of go about that with artists? Because obviously, you know, it's a little bit of a different lane. Like you can't necessarily, well, I guess in ways you can kind of have case studies of views and maybe you can kind of get access to the metrics they gain from that. But predominantly, it's a lot harder to kind of track and build out case studies or testimonials per se with music videos. So, you know, one thing I love that you can do to proactively kind of get new clientele, or again, to get past clientele to potentially bite on a new project, is if you have downtime, is just start writing new treatments. Yeah. You know, that's something I love to do as a director, you know, is if I have new ideas, I love building out the treatments, and then I love just shopping it around. I literally just go and I say, hey, you know, I've got this again, like, you know, you can build it all out and copyright it so no one can steal from you. But essentially, you know, you can shoot it off. You can shop it off to different clientele you've worked with in the past or potentially new ones and say, hey, do you have any song that might fit this? Like, I've got this awesome idea I've really wanted to kind of bring to life. I think, you know, you've got the great personality and artist persona and brand for this. Like, do you have a song that fits this? And again, you can even use this to like think about the seasons in different times in mind, right? So like February's somewhat around the corner, Valentine's Day, like there's going to be hella songs that come out about love, R&B, soul, pop, all that stuff. So many different genres. So like, imagine if right now you started proactively building out 10 different treatments all around, you know, that concept, right? Well, you're probably going to be able to get a couple past clientele to bite on those, because that does amazing things for them. It saves them the time of finding locations, creating an idea, building out kind of all this concept. Like, they just need to execute in the sense of give you the money to bring the idea to life. So that's just another kind of quick tip that I kind of like to use whenever I've got some downtime as well to work on the, I guess, music video side of things.
Fantastic. Let's quickly stay on that with treatments, right? You can approach treatments a million different ways, but as we're on the topic of elevating your client experience, like, where do you position your treatments to the point where it's like, I'm really proud of this. Like, my company's behind this. It looks good. Like, how do you put together your treatments? Is it just like, you know, a script with just basic pitches thrown in there? Or are you, you know, do you have a deck that you do that, you know, you've had designed? Like, where are you at the level of sharing treatments? And like, on a scale of 0 to 10, what do you think your treatments are?
I would probably say like a 7.
Fair.
I mean, fair. I could
walk
say,
us through,
you know,
that. Like, what's your normal treatment have in it?
So actually, yeah, before I got on this call, I was actually writing one. So let me just, let me just jump on this really quick. So I have my normal title card. I have pretty much a built out template that I follow, and then I subsequent out different things, obviously, for the artist, the song, different things like that. Sometimes I add a couple different pages or slides, if you will, but predominantly I'll kind of have a title slide, right? So this is like photo of the artist, title of the song, their name, treatment by me. Following that, I'll just kind of do like a little about me. Again, it's got, and every one of these slides, you know, has, we're visual people here, so everyone, every one of these slides has photos. So
your
the
logo
next one
too,
is
or no?
I don't personally put the a logo on here, just because my personal brand logo is, I personally think it's outdated. I think like I just don't really use it a ton. So personally, no, I don't on these. Okay. I do have it on the final slide though, along with my copyright. But the second one is just an about me. Again, telling them a little bit about like how long I've been doing this, my experience, like what I focus on predominantly, like with my style of filmmaking. Following that, I'll have the concept. So this is kind of like where you'll see the most text in the entire treatment. This is literally just written out like my idea in full. So just like a full paragraph explaining the idea. Yep.
Is it like a synopsis, or is it like a step-by-step, scene-by-scene?
Just a synopsis. Then from there, I'll break down into the, I'll have like a style page. And so this, this page I'm talking about, like not style in regards to the post-production, but more specifically, like what we're styling, what we're doing in the actual production process. So like, what colors are we using in the actual filmmaking process? What camera are we using, and what kind of camera movement, if any? Like, are we focused on more static shots? Are we using a lot of dollies? Are we looking for jagged, rugged camera shake, or more fluid movement with a steady cam? Lighting, talk about if we're going for soft key, or we're going for hard light, high key or low key, all that kind of different stuff. Then I'll talk about sound as well. So again, like, is this a particular project that we're going to use any natural sound? Are we going to have like an intro or an outro, or have any breaks during, you know, in between the music video where you kind of break to more of dialogue? Then I'll talk about the execution. So I talk about our approach, like, how should we approach this? Is this guerrilla style filmmaking? Do we need to be slow and methodical? Is it a 3-man crew size I feel like we need, or do we need a 10-man crew size? How much, how many hours do we need? Do we mean multiple days? So I talk about how we're going to execute and actually bring this project to life. And then from there, I start getting into more of the logistical slash kind of creative elements. So from there, I'll start talking about the different locations, and I'll kind of separate those out from storied locations or performance-based locations. And then obviously, if it's a mixture, I'll kind of just mark that as such. I'll talk a little bit about where the location is, what it represents, and then again, obviously, imagery to coincide.
Those locations, are those locations like reference locations or locations you already have in mind?
Depends. Predominantly, it's just references. But again, like if I, for instance, know the music video is going to be in Orlando. Or I just know a location I've already shot at that's going to work great for it. Like, I'm going to use that as my reference, as well as it's probably just going to be marked like a link to check it out. Like, this is what I want to use. But predominantly, it's just references, video reference images. So obviously the artists and management, etc., can get an idea of like what I want it to look like. From there, I'll have a couple mood boards. So again, just a couple slides, and literally all of these slides are just images. And sometimes if I feel like I need to do a little bit more to kind of explain a bit better or differentiate a bit better, is I'll kind of differentiate the different mood boards and, like, you know, use this as reference to the lighting style. Use this mood board in reference to the color. Use this mood board in reference to the locations. Because sometimes, you know, I'll find photos on Unsplash or Pexel or Google, whatever have you, right? And maybe some aspects of it fit perfectly for what I'm trying to convey, maybe locationally, but like the colors, maybe it's like super saturated in blues and reds, like neon lights at night, and I don't want it to be that. Maybe it's for a scary film or I don't know, a horror-based music video. So, like, I want it to be more desaturated and green tones, more like sepia, something like that. So, I'll kind of elaborate a little bit more on those. Then I'll do a vidspiration board. So, again, just this has got a couple different links. And that's just to different videos to, again, help emulate or showcase, you know, what we're trying to emulate, the different kind of styles. Again, if needed to differentiate, because maybe there's aspects of a music video I don't want to include in our video. So to clarify, I'll say like, hey, just reference the lighting for this video, because maybe it has like a bunch of animation and I'm not big on animation. So like, I don't want that in my music video. So I'm going to make sure to note that. Different elements like those. Then I talk about my post-production. So again, you know, what is the editing style? What is the coloring in post-production? And then video effects. Are we doing any video effects or anything like that? Finally, again, in the treatment, just kind of depends, like, if I've already got a project locked in or not. But if I'm pitching, then I'll include essentially a pricing breakdown sheet. So I'll give them my pitch of the budget I want. I'll personally do that. Again, this is just in reference, though, in regards to production. This isn't necessarily referencing, you know, what it would potentially cost for talent or booking locations. Like, this is just solely referencing, like, this is to cover myself, the crew, and us actually, like, filming and editing it. This is the budget I'd like to have to kind of create something like this. And then finally, I just have that thank you slide. You know, say thank you. And then again, I just have copyrighted to protect, you know, the intellectual property contained within the document. So I just mark that on there. And that's predominantly pretty much it for my treatments. Again, it varies here and there depending upon the client. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
What's up, guys? We're back at it with another sponsor, which is ShareGrid, the largest camera sharing community on planet Earth, where you can rent or buy cinema gear. Now, ShareGrid.com is perfect if you're trying to test out a camera before you buy it, or if you want to upgrade to a cinema camera for your next shoot to shoot that crispy 6K footage, 8K, 12K, find it all on ShareGrid.com. Or if you're looking to make some extra money, you can go to ShareGrid to rent your gear out or even to sell your gear on ShareGrid.com. It's a professional way of renting and buying gear, super safe and secure. They have insurance behind all of their transactions. So if you want to join the camera sharing community today, go to ShareGrid.com. You won't regret it. Now let's get back into the episode. Yeah, and I think, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do these. Like, this is an art and you could do it, you know, whatever you think works best for you. Gonna do a quick plug. We also sell music video templates on industryjump.training. That's the domain, industryjump.training. We have a template pack of 5 pre-made templates that are ready to go for you in Keynote or PowerPoint. Also, it includes 5 templates that have been big videos like, you know, successful templates that have like Kalani videos or, you know, Jacob Owens has a template in there. Matt Alonso has a template in there. So you could, if you're looking to get into the treatment game, you could check that out. But yeah, there's a million different ways that you could do it. You know, some of the things that I just want to emphasize, then we'll get out of this section, but, you know, definitely vibes, colors, tones, right? Want to illustrate that. Locations play a key part. And then I think just the biggest thing is just telling a story that people can relate to that want to see made, right? Like you, at the end of the day, it's all about story. So make sure that you're, whatever format it is, it's a story that gets emotions or that you tie it in visually. So it's like you want them to finish reading the treatment and say, I gotta make this. You know what I mean? Like that's the response that you want, right? And normally that doesn't just happen with just a bunch of just text on a page. You know, like usually you have like break it out into scenes or some text and some inspiration, the logos, right? Now you bring them through the story one step at a time. I found to be successful. So, but you got to write a lot of them. I love the idea of banking them. I love the idea of proactively sending them out there, even if people don't ask you for it. So all great stuff. You know, we're on the topic of the podcast, which is elevating your client experience. Treatments are a great way to, you know, get out there and to get in front of clients. I think when you're sending your treatments, you know, like, you're sending via email, you know, just to make sure that you're as professional as possible. Maybe you're including your email signature within your email, like, so they know who it's coming from. Thanks for giving me a chance to, you know, send this treatment your way. Like just always communicating as professionally as possible. Whenever you're, going back and forth with a potential client or clients, which I think kind of leads us into call sheets, and how we might approach, you know, communicating with clients and actors, and crew for our productions at kind of several different levels, right? So like we have the videographer level where it's just like maybe you and a BTS shooter, and you have a talent or two and then a client, right? And so I'll kind of riff on my style and then I'll pass it back to you, Kyle. So if I'm just in that format with just a couple crewmen, crew people, talent or two and a client, I'll just put together a real informational email and say, hey, here's the location. Here are the call times for each person. Here is parking. And here is information of like how to call me. And then I'll kind of put out in the email, like if you have any dietary restrictions, like if we're providing kind of catering or crafty, let me know so I can account for those, right? I've always just gone with the habit of emailing talent completely separately, right? So I'll send out an email to all crew with that information, and then I'll do one-off emails to talent. And I'll say, hey, here's your call time. Here's your wardrobe. Here's who you report to on set, right? Like, be
why
very
is that,
clear
JJ?
Because
why is that?
You just can't afford like them being confused at all, right? Like,
dude,
you don't
I'm amazed.
To be late, all that kind
I'm
of stuff.
I'm amazed at how many times talent continues to not be able to read a call sheet. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to really spell it out for them. That's why I just individualize it all of just like, hey, here's when you need to show up. This is your specific call time, your wardrobe, where you need to report to, where you're parking, all that kind of stuff, right? Bring options for wardrobe if we've already talked about that or haven't talked about that yet. Of course, I'll talk about allergy restrictions, like if there is there anything that we should be aware of when you're on set, that kind of thing. So I'll individually do that to each talent, and then I'll send a client one as well in a similar vein to as I did with the talent of like, this is the details for tomorrow. This is when crew's showing up. This is when talent's starting to show up. Here's when we think first shot's going to be. And I put in first shot because they don't normally like showing up at the beginning. They like showing up when it's we actually start shooting, right? So if I give them like a first shot timeline, then they show up right around that time. And that saves them from being like, hey, I've been here for 2 hours. We haven't done anything. Why'd you call me in? That kind of stuff. Like, hey, I'm going to tell you when our call time is and then when our first shot is. You decide when you want to show up. So that has worked for me in the past. When I actually go to a call sheet, it's when I probably got 5 or 7 crew members or more. And that's when I need to specify a lot more details of individual call times, you know, nearest hospital, things like that. If we're having a hot breakfast, when that might be in addition to lunch. And I like to do a call sheet, 5-7 people or more. It's also like an official document. It's like a legal document in the sense that like this was an official day of production work. These were the people on that set, really clearly organized in that way. And just generally, call sheets are very professional. You send it off to a client, to talent. It's like that next level experience for them is like, hey, you're not texting me details for tomorrow. It's like, these guys are ready to go, you know? So that's kind of how I think about it. You know, smaller productions, just an email communications. Maybe if I need a follow-up, I forgot to mention this. If I don't hear back from them or important people like talent, I'll follow up via a call. Just say, hey, haven't heard back from you. Just want to make sure you're good to go for tomorrow. Great. Talk to you later, right? Early in my career as a second AD, that was like one of my jobs. Like we would send the call sheet off to all the talent and we'd always ask for them to respond. And if they didn't respond, I'd be the person checking the emails and calling each one of them and saying, you never responded to me. Just wanted to make sure you got it. Wanted to make sure you're good for tomorrow because we can't afford to be late kind of thing. So that's how I break it down. How do you go about it with your productions, Kyle?
Yeah, it's relatively similar. I'm curious, you know, when you say like you're building out the call sheet, do you use like, I guess for the smaller crews, you know, say it's like three or four people, something less than that, you're just sending it out in like a single email. You're not like sending it in an actual document in attached to the email.
Yeah, I'm not sending a call sheet or like a call sheet in terms of like, you know, who's your cinematographer, all that kind of stuff, their contact information, all that kind of stuff, an actual call sheet document. Only doing when I have like 5, 7, or 10 people or more. Otherwise, it's just an informational email.
Gotcha. Yeah, I kind of do a little bit of the same, except personally, honestly, I use call sheets predominantly only if it's like a very big production. Where I've got, I don't know, relative. I mean, I guess it could be the same, you know, 5 to 6 people or more, but predominantly it's just something where I feel like it's just a bit on a higher scale and it kind of needs to have just that feel of a lot more professionalism. But from a personal standpoint, I find myself to be much more of like a personable person. So for me, I like to have something that's easily accessible for anyone. That they can see it anytime, anywhere, any place. And a big thing for me too is making sure that people are aware anytime there's changes. So I love using Apple Notes. That's like my favorite thing to use for building out call sheets. So obviously, again, when it's a bigger production, it's a little bit harder to have it as completely, I guess, formatted and organized where it's not just this huge long list. Like you could do something a bit more organized and better, like with Excel or something like that. Again, depending upon the scale, I might build it out in Excel, but predominantly, you know, about 80% of the time, I'm just using Apple Notes. So again, I'll have pretty much all the same things you'd include in a call sheet listed on there. Just the only thing is, again, it just, to me personally, it has a little bit less of like that high-end, pristine, professional quality. It just has a bit more of a personal feel, and that's okay with me. Again, you know, I think that's how I operate. I think that's how my set feels. That's how I want the client to feel. And again, I think the important thing for me is, and why I really love using notes, is I've had plenty of experiences where we're shooting in different locations where there's just no access to internet. So, you know, if you're using Google Doc or something where they need to get on Google Drive, people might not be able to access it. Then they can't find the location, or maybe someone's GPS gives out because they're driving on a dirt road and they can't access anything. Also, again, you know, by sending out, for instance, not to knock you, JJ, the email is fine. But like my thing is like, if I send out an email and then all of a sudden I realize I didn't include a location or something changes, I don't want to keep bothering people and sending out multiple emails. Or what if I send out a last minute email day of because we had to change something, they don't check it.
Sure.
For me personally, I love using notes because they see all the changes, they can see them immediately. And again, depending upon the size,
when there are updates,
I'll use group chats. So I'll have a group chat for crew, I'll have a group chat for talent, group chat for client. Mm-hmm. I just send the note in there and they immediately know that there's new updates in there. They can click on that, check it out. Again, everyone has access to the doc, so they can easily see locations, times, crew, numbers, all the details. So that's how I personally do it. But again, as we alluded to with treatments and everything here, you know, there's you'll find the method to your madness, if you will. You know, there's not necessarily one right 100% way to do it.
Yeah. And I think this kind of leads us into like, you know, feeling out your client, right? Like some clients don't need a lot at all, right? They're just down for the cause. You don't really need to kind of cater to them in any kind of special request. And then some clients need a lot, right? And as producers, as directors, as business owners, it's up to us to like always just get a sense of who we're working with. And this isn't just client, it's just everything, like our crew, our talent, et cetera. We always need to have a good sense of who we're working with and who we're around. But with your client, you know, there are some clients that I work with that just like, listen, if we have a hot lunch on set, they're not eating it. You know, like I got to get them a special lunch or I got to take them out to lunch, right? And as a producer, I'd have that luxury of being able to leave the set like that. Whereas if you're a director, you maybe not be able to. But, you know, things like that. Whereas other clients is like, oh, they can get Chipotle too. No worries. You know, like, so it's totally up to like how you're reading your client, what you, you know, that budget level, what you're expecting, what they're expecting. And I think that's the most important part is understanding who your client is and what they're expecting, setting expectations from the beginning. You know, like, some clients, if they came on the set and there was no client village for them and they had no client monitor, they'd be really disappointed, right? And just getting ahead of that ahead of time and saying, you know, we're going to be having this area on set. We're even like, man, on bigger sets, you like go balls to the wall with having like a client village set up. Like you have your own client cooler with like their sparkling waters, their own client crafty, you know, their own, you know, catering that we, you know, the crew got pizza, they got sushi, you know, like all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And then they'd have their own tent, their own chairs with their names on it, right? So like you can go big, you can go small. The important part is that you're reading your client and you're setting those expectations of what it's going to be like on set and what they need on set. Right. And some people, they're okay looking over the director's shoulders, or they don't even want to look over the director's shoulder. They just want to be, you know, making sure that their talent is good. Right. So, you know, communicating that ahead of time, having that conversation of, hey, what's it like for you on set? How would you like your set experience to go? Do you need a playback monitor? Oh, you do. You know, we can add that in. No problem. It's going to be an extra $200 extra. We can add it in. No worries. Let them make those decisions, you know, ahead of time. So instead of just like they get to set and just like, hey, you got nothing for me. What is this kind of thing? It's like we all made decisions. It is what it is. And we're all good about it. Expectations have been set. So I think, you know, when thinking about client playback experience, client communication, setting expectations, all that goes a long way with just clear communicating and letting people know how the day of production is going to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boom. Let's get into deliverables. I think this is a short one, but, you know, so there are so many different platforms that we can deliver to these days, right? We have YouTube, we have Instagram, we have Snapchat, we have Google Ads, we have Facebook, we have TikTok, etc. It just goes on, right? And so there's a lot of ways that you can give your client an even better experience by maybe offering them more deliverables, different aspect ratios, or different, you know, maybe you'll include subtitles on a video, right? Or understanding how your client is going to use these videos in their marketing scheme and make sure that you're going above and beyond to get them all the assets they need to have successful campaigns and to be able to A/B test this, right? And so I'm not saying put in 8 to 10 hours of extra editing, but if you can go out of your way to do an extra export or two to give them a different aspect ratio, I think that goes a long way, right? And so Kyle, when you're thinking about delivering your videos, aspect ratios and stuff, are you only delivering, like, are you guys clearly talking about ahead of time what aspect ratios will be delivered? How do you go about, you know, talking about deliverables?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first part of the conversation, but, you know, once we've gotten through the creative and essentially we know the purpose and what we're doing, when, all that stuff,
yeah,
then yes, I mean, that's definitely a big part of the conversation. I mean, again, you know, talking about a big project I've been working on since, well, we shot
the same one, isn't it?
Yeah, we shot the commercial stuff. We shot the campaign in end of October, and we're still editing it right now because I've got like 50 something videos I'm editing for them. So we've got, you know, we were hired for two specifically like main brand videos, an extended brand campaign and a shortened brand campaign around 30 to 45 seconds. But through having those as the prioritized content, we also built it out and structured the film day and what we were capturing in a way so that they could have tons of other assets. So we have a lot of other hyper-focused videos that are, I guess, just to elaborate a little bit more. So the brand is targeting, you know, predominantly active males. So, you know, we filmed a lot of footage of football, soccer, working out, skateboarding, biking, all these different activities, right? And so those are going to be cut up and put into these main brand videos to showcase a bit about the brand, the lifestyle, product, etc. But then we also have different cut-ups that we're making, you know, vertical focus 9x16 and you know, wide focus 16x9. We've got again, just football focused or just working out focused or just basketball focused, etc. So, and again, just differentiating from landscape to portrait, you know, we've got two different assets right there for football. Then same thing with soccer, and it adds on. So it's a big part of the conversation. It definitely plays a huge role in it. And I think it's an important one to have because one, I'll use a recent example. You know, I was hired out to assist on a project, a commercial campaign, my buddy shot for a day. And granted, it worked out. The content we captured was amazing and the video came out great. But the client only wanted to use the content for IG Reels and TikTok. It's really how she draws in all her audience and her clientele is through social media. But everything we shot was in landscape. So it wasn't necessarily shot in a way that was optimized for the kind of content they wanted to create. Now, we could shoot it still landscape to optimize it for that by shooting from a further distance so we can still use landscape imagery. But for example, you know, we got hired out by that same company to film again about, I would say this was like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that. My friend was out of town, but he had me kind of direct the project. And the big thing we obviously did this time was we flipped the camera. So everything we shot on Steadicam and we shot vertically. So it was all optimized for IG Reels and TikTok. And the client was super satisfied. The content came out great. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge part of the conversation and definitely needs to be had. And the big benefit, of course, you know, I think sometimes people get scared because it means more editing and more work, but it also means a lot more money and a lot more of a satisfied client. Again, at the end of the day, like our client has to see results.
Better results.
Exactly. Yeah, they have to see results.
Yeah, exactly. And you hit the nail on the head with that one. And I think that brings us right into, you know, going back and forth with sharing cuts, edits, right? Feedback delivery, you know, how you're doing that process. Of course, we got to mention Gem Studios here to expedite your client feedback where you have a cut, you upload it to Gem Studios, you send them a link, they can go review that video, they can leave time-coded annotations on that video, they can draw on that video and say, hey, lower the light here or cut this here, right? And you can have clear communications, asynchronous with your client. That way, it's super easy. Our clients love it. But if whatever method you're doing for your workflow, like what is... I guess what I'm trying to say is like, what is the most professional way to have that? I would say going with something like Jump Studios, Frame.io, even Vimeo has an option like that where you could do would be the best option. But what am I missing here? Like you, because this is also an opportunity for you to, you know, really polish this off. Like let's get this video to the finish line. Let's make sure you're really happy. I guess before that, like, are you doing in-person editing sessions? Is it just remote editing? How are you thinking about this process, Kyle?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that varies project to project, client to client. A lot of my work is with brands and companies that aren't necessarily local, be that to Florida or Orlando as well. And so with that, you know, a lot of my editing is just done virtually. However, if I do have clientele here locally, you know, I'm more than happy to get together and do an editing session together. I predominantly end up doing that more with music videos. And I think that's honestly just because the artists have more passion and they want to be a part of the project. Whereas commercial work, they're just like, I want the video. Like, just give me the video when it's done and it's done the way we want it. Like, they don't necessarily need to be there or care to be a part of the process as much. They just want that final product. That's kind of how I go about editing in regards to in person or virtually. And then, you know, I mean, in regards to file sharing, editing, again, you know, using Jump Studios, love being able to utilize that so I can get, you know, real-time feedback. Again, annotations, get it specifically time-coded so I know exactly what they're referencing and talking about, so we can be very, very specific, and it eliminates that back and forth and confusion in the communication process, which is huge. And, you know, I think... Lastly, I guess, like, overall, like, a delivery process, you know, that's something I've been trying to work on. If there's a way I could kind of close out a project with a clientele a little bit better, kind of put the cherry on top. I'm not sure I've really figured that fully out yet. I deliver the final product. Of course, I say thank you. Look forward to working together again. I always try to provide extra content. So if they didn't even ask for behind the scenes, I'll give them behind the scenes. If I do kind of any frame grabs or screen grabs, I'll send them those. I'll do things to kind of go above and beyond. But I highly encourage you guys listening, you know, like, try to find a way you can separate yourself and do something that's a bit different that really makes the client feel special and cared for. And again, you know, that's something I'm still trying to do better and finalize myself. So you're not alone there, but it's definitely a good focus.
You know, like sending them like a retransfer link and saying, hey, best of luck. You know, that, like, that's cold. Like, yeah, that's fine. A lot of people do that, but it's just like, it's not the same as like if you were to send them a presentation page through Jump Studios and it's just like all of the assets in one place, like BTS stuff and everything. It's just like right there, beautifully looking for their project. I think that's so much better, right? And 100%. Yeah, you just want to be able to polish that off, you know? You know, one other great thing is like with Jump Studios is say you have multiple videos for them to edit or review, you could still just send them one link and then they can access all of those videos or media files to review with that one link. So it's not like, hey, what link are you referring to? Where are we? You know, it's just like, this is everything. You click on one link. You don't even need an account. You just watch the video. You click on the video wherever you want to leave a note. That's it. And then you mark it as approved. You're good to go, baby. You know? So it's important to find your rhythm, whatever it may be, whatever workflow it is, because it takes time, you know, and it also you can deliver a more professional experience. And if you can streamline this and start to scale this, like automate this, then you get more time back and other things that you could do to, you know, be making more money for your business. So definitely look into how you can optimize this experience for your client and streamline the process. You know, one thing I want to add on for Jump Studios, we just added a feature this week called the upload link. And this is really great for, say you're collaborating with like a BTS shooter or an editor, right? You, within Jump Studios, you create a project for whatever you're working on, right? And then you can create an upload link for that project and then send that upload link to anybody and they could just, you know, throw up their media files to that upload link. It'd go straight into your project and they wouldn't have access to any of your other details, right? So it's a super safe way to collaborate and share media with collaborators. So very similar to like a Dropbox link, et cetera, but it's like a professional link. It has your branding, your company branding. Thanks for collaborating. You're notified when they upload it. You're notified when they view it. So like, and it's all tracked within your activity tracker within Jump Studios. So things like that make it really easy, you know, to have editors share cuts with you. They upload their cut to Jump Studios and then you just create a review link and send that to the client. They review it there, right? So that's super simple. Also, if your client needs to send you like their logos and their brand guidelines and all that kind of stuff, you can create an upload link, send it to them via Jump Studios that way. Again, your company branding is clear, super like professional, every touch point, you know, like really trying to think about every touch point, how we can make this a positive impact and a positive experience for them. And I think that will go a long way for you. So really love what we're doing on that side. But, you know, everyone has their own workflows. Find what works well for you and try and make it as efficient as possible. Try and make it as professional as possible and you will be good to go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cool. Any last thoughts before we wrap up for today, Kyle?
Well, it's end of year. You guys won't be listening to this at end of year, but get on those goals, set high expectations for yourself.
Personal goals, company goals.
Oh yeah. And hold yourself accountable. It's fresh new year, fresh new start. Keep climbing, baby.
Yeah. Hey, anything's possible. You know, if you work out hard, you show up every day, You can make it happen. So thank you for tuning back into another episode of Learn Videography. Today we talked about elevating your client experience. You can find Kyle on Instagram at KyleVisuals, myself at JJ Englert. You could follow us at jumpstudios.io and at Industry Jump. You can check out Jump Studios at www.jumpstudios.io. If you have a second to leave us a review, we really appreciate reviews. They go a long way to helping us improve this podcast. So your feedback is really appreciated. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast all the way to the end. We will be back at it next week with another fantastic episode. We're also trying to get some more interview creators or content creators on the podcast. So if you have anyone that you want us to interview, reach out to us on Instagram, DM us. We can most likely get them on the show. You just got to let us know who you want to hear from other than Kyle and myself. But otherwise, I hope you guys have a great week. We will catch you next week on Learn Videography.
See you guys then. Cheers.